It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Indeed, it is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. It is Wednesday. That means it is also Wednesday over at Hooters Restaurants. They have five locations, Lone Tree, Westminster, Aurora, Colorado Springs, and Loveland. And every Wednesday is Wings Day, available every day, all day long. Buy 20 wings, get 10 for free. That's their breaded, their naked, their Daytona or boneless wings. And that's to go or dine in only, not valid on delivery. Go to my website, Kim Munson, MUNSON.com, and check out all my sponsors. And you can get all the specials there when you click on the Hooters tab. It is Wednesday, producer Steve.
Yeah. Like just the our friend the camel just said. I forgot to warn you that he was here today.
Well, you know, he's somewhat unreliable. I just never know.
He's got an ego like Barack Obama.
Yeah, speaking of Barack Obama, his birthday party, his 60th birthday party, is going to have, 700 guests, 200 servants, people serving. And I guess he's scaling that back now because people are like, well, wait a minute. The government is basically implying this Delta variant is a real killer. And obviously, that's a real problem. So under all the pressure, I guess he's scaling that back, or maybe not having it right now, but just a much smaller group. And the thing about it, Steve, is if you really look at this, either they don't believe what they are saying, or they know it's not true. I mean, that's basically it. The idea that bureaucrats and politicians and interested parties, speaking of interested parties, the fact that Pfizer, made over $33 billion on the vaccine this last go-round. So that's an interested party, if you will. But they obviously, they don't believe it, but they are scaring people like crazy out there, Steve.
Well, I've been tracking this one for the last week or so and thinking, all right, either they are incredibly stupid and they're going to go ahead with this event in Martha's Vineyard, or there might be something else out there. Do you want to share that?
Do you think possibly, Steve and I, we were talking on our pre-call for the show, that this has been a distraction, just like Governor Cuomo of New York? Is this possibly a distraction? It's like, why now? Because we're seeing more and more information regarding potential election integrity challenges. And you just wonder if this is a bit of a distraction now, and there'll be distraction after distraction as I think we get closer and closer to the target on this, Steve.
Well, I know better. In one sense, I hate to insult anyone's integrity, but I know better that, you know, the American populace is incredibly distracted and uninformed and always looking the wrong direction. And it certainly doesn't, you know, I wouldn't put it past them to be putting up, potentially purposely putting up distractions to keep people from looking at things like what's going on in Arizona, what's about to break loose in Pennsylvania in terms of election integrity, or this budget mess this big infrastructure bill that's about to break loose. I mean, what can you do to keep people from actually looking and seeing what's going on?
Well, and that is why we do this show, is to search for truth and clarity on these issues as we look at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do it. And remember, it is never compassionate. Many times all of this stuff is couched on this is compassionate, this is caring about people. Well, it's not compassionate to take other people's rights or their property, their freedom or their livelihood via force, whether it is with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, and we're seeing coercion across the spectrum, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you should not have to use force to implement this. I so appreciate each and every one of you joining us, each of you listeners. Thank you. And thank you for the support that you give to us. I get to work with a great team as well, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. It is, you know, Steve, it is really an honor to get to do this work that we are doing. And it sometimes, I know that it seems overwhelming for you, the listeners, and it is somewhat overwhelming as well as we try to muddle through all of this, this mess, to shine truth and to look for truth, to shine light on this. And just a little light, Steve, just a little light really helps. And so then we hope you will engage with your friends and your family and your colleagues and your neighbors, because we are engaged in an epic battle of ideas right now, Steve.
Well, that's an excellent segue to the inspirational wisdom, the thing that you do daily. So let us have it.
Okay, and this is from Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers. He was born in 1928, and he died in 2003. He was an American television host, author, producer, and Presbyterian minister. He was the creator, showrunner, and host of the preschool television series Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, which ran from 1968 to 2001. And this is what he said. He said, "Honesty is often very hard. The truth is often painful. But the freedom it can bring is worth the trying." And just a little bit of truth will really push back on this just barrage of lies and chaos and confusion that comes at us on a daily basis, Steve.
Well, and I think the freedom he's referring to, I could be wrong, but the freedom he's referring to is the unburdening of the soul.
Yes, the truth shall set you free. And that's for sure. Let's continue on here, Steve. Couple of things. The show this week, America's Veteran Stories, which will be on Sunday at 3 and then also at 10, features retired Army Major General Joe Arbuckle. And a really fascinating story. He went into the Army as a private and ended up to the rank of general. That's pretty remarkable just in itself, Steve.
That alone, my experience in the military, that alone is why this guy has all the credibility that he has. I was exposed to some generals who, you know, they went the other route. They went the different service academies and rose up through the ranks. But unfortunately, a lot of them are really full of themselves and their egos. You know, it was tough to be in the room with them. But this guy, he speaks like, you know, none of the other ones.
Well, and he also, we have done another, he was on the show, on the Kim Munson show, because when retired Marine General Mattis was going after Trump, General Arbuckle said, he doesn't speak for all of us. And so they organized very quickly and just very grassroots as well. They had 197 flag officers, that's your admirals and your generals, that signed a letter that they sent out, and they said, Mattis does not speak for us. And General Arbuckle also said that we are, our country is in great peril right now. We're in great danger. And that is why each and every one of us has got to get our brain around these issues and to understand them and be talking with our friends and our family and our colleagues, because we are at a very dangerous time in our country right now. And it's whether or not this American idea is going to survive, or whether or not Marxism is going to take over our country. And we can see that Marxism, communism, socialism is knocking at the door, Steve.
It is, but you know, I get sometimes when you're talking and you talk about the five things, or the five or six things, that list that keeps on growing, and the things that are impacting, you know, and taking away our freedoms and stuff. I just, it just, every one of those, it could be an hour-long topic unto itself.
Well, and it's been very subtle. It's been subtle. It's been under the radar, but it's been occurring for quite some time. And basically, part of it, I think, even started when we started to censor ourselves, which this came out of the 60s into the 70s and the 80s, and that is we don't talk about politics or religion in polite company. So then that meant that we weren't talking about the big ideas, the things that really mattered, and really kicking the tire on these ideas. And you're kicking the tires on these ideas. And that was a real mistake. We need to make sure that we engage and talk about these big ideas. I wanted to go to one of the headlines. Well, first of all, our researcher, Patty, this was really a great find. Senate Bill 21-142 was passed this last legislative session. And it says healthcare access in cases of rape or incest. And it was sponsored by Senators Pedersen and Donovan and Representatives Carveo and McCluskey. They're all Democrats. And basically, it's an abortion bill, if you will. Let's get right to it. And but in there, and Governor Polis signed this. It says every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion or interference from the government. And then it goes on to say some other things. But just let that sink in. Governor Polis signed that this last May. And when we look at all of the coercion that is occurring out there, which takes us to this particular headline, that, let's see, here it is, that Denver is increasing the maximum fine for public health violations to $5,000. And we're wondering just the timing on this. It says the Denver City Council adopted an ordinance on Monday, this month, this last Monday night, amending the maximum fine its city health department can levy against a business from $999 to $5,000. The Denver Department of Public Health and Environment argued that the increase is necessary because the current fine level is too low and is seen as the cost of doing business. The measure will also allow the agency to be more flexible in its assessments across industry types. That's code word for being able to pick winners and losers. It says, and then the executive director is Bob McDonald, and he said that the initiative began before the pandemic began. And he said, what we're seeing more and more is that our administrative fine authority has been unchanged for decades. That's always a great reason to change things. And what we're seeing is that some businesses and regulated industries are disobeying these rules. I tell you, it looks like the heavy hand of force and coercion is alive and well in this beautiful city that I used to love. It is just beyond belief. But we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue with some of these headlines. So stay tuned.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through this lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And again, this city, Denver, this whole metro area, I just so used to love it. And Mayor Hancock is just really heavy-handed. He is really pushing forward Marxist policies in our beautiful city. And I don't even want to go into Denver if I can help it, because crime is up. There's homeless on the streets, which that's not compassionate either. Those that are mentally ill, that are homeless, really, they need to be at a different place than on the streets. And those that are able to work really need to work. But that has been one of the goals of the World Economic Forum. And again, a year ago, I was talking with a friend of mine who we've been on this a bit. A year ago, if you talked about what the World Economic Forum, what their goals were, that people wouldn't own anything and be happy about it, you kind of felt a little out there that you were saying that. And now we look at what is happening with crime and excessive taxation, unpredictable taxation, all these rules and regulations that are chipping away at people's property rights. For example, what we just talked about in this last segment, where the Denver Public Health Department has upped their fines. $5,000 for a small little business is a really big deal. And again, you have bureaucrats like this that they can come in and they can use their force on one business and they can just waltz past the next business. So they can actually target that. This is never the way it was supposed to be, Steve.
Well, I agreed. And, you know, if we want to lay it, all this at the feet of the mayor, we stop and stand back for a second and ask, who is Michael Hancock? And, you know, I think being the mayor, he's kind of checked that one off and says, been there, done that. He's still looking to the next position in his public service career. And let's not forget, he's taken, whether he was picked or chosen or he just ascended, I don't know how he did this, but he's the acting head of MOR, which is Mayors Organized for Reparations and Equity. He and probably about 12 other mayors from other cities around the country are, you know, actively pursuing this. And you're thinking, all right, between that, which is a nationally recognized position now, or at least he's getting that level of attention, coupled with his performance in this declaration on Monday about what he wants city workers and healthcare workers and vendors to be doing, and saying, all right, let's not kid ourselves here. We know Washington is always on the hunt for looking for people who are playing the game the way they want it played. So one way or the other, Hancock's looking to his next position, which I would say will be something national.
Well, and what you were referring to is his ruling that all public workers basically in Denver have to be vaccinated. But yet yesterday when we were talking to Dr. James Lyons Weiler, is that we are seeing that vaccinated people are actually getting COVID. Now, the other thing about it that we forget to, has not been part of the conversation is A, testing positive for COVID does not necessarily mean that you've gotten sick. And then if you do, in fact, get sick from COVID, there are treatments out there. But yet we've had government that has said we can't talk about some of those, the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine. But I did see on the headline here that it looks like the FDA is going to approve a cocktail, a COVID cocktail, which makes me wonder, so if it's a new FDA-approved cocktail, so is that a new drug? Does that mean that, once again, Big Pharma is going to make money on that? One of the reasons they don't like hydroxychloroquine is it's been out for years and years and years and years, and they don't make a ton of money on it. So this is kind of connect the dots on the money on this. But there are treatments out there. If somebody does come down with COVID, there are effective treatments. And so are we not looking at hospitalizations and deaths instead of now just these potential positive test results? And the going back over to Mayor Hancock then, forcing people, when we talked with Jack yesterday, Dr. James Lyons Weiler yesterday, he couldn't totally connect the dots, but there is, it looks like, an ingredient in COVID that could possibly cause infertility. Well, Mayor Hancock, what about all these young teachers? What about all these young staff members that have not started their families yet and want to start a family? What if we do find out that that's true and yet you force this on people? I mean, that's pretty cruel to me, Steve.
Well, you talk about leadership, and you know, one of the qualities you want them to have is compassion. And what was the last thing said in his declaration?
Oh, you might just lose your job. Yeah, if you don't get it.
There might be some folks who may lose their jobs behind this event, he says. We recognize that. Oh, you do? Well, man, there's some top drawer compassion right there.
Right, right. And then one other thing, when you mentioned that he's heading up this Mayors for Reparations, here he is, mayor of a city that wasn't even a state during the Civil War, first of all. And second of all, really, so we're going to take money from people who never owned slaves. Many people, their ancestors weren't even in America at that time, because the Civil War was before the Great Migration. So you're just because of the color of your skin, you're going to take money from one person and give it to another person who was not a slave either. I mean, this is craziness. But what it is, Steve, is once again, it is an assault on property rights. And it is the love of the unearned money. And there is dignity in work, but they're doing everything they can to, Patty and I've talked about it, to try to move people to a universal based income. And that's basically you just get money just because you exist. Well, ultimately, as Maggie Thatcher said, the problem with socialism is eventually you run out of other people's money. And what the government giveth, the government can taketh away, Steve.
Well, we've been quoting Thatcher now for ever since she made that statement. And I wonder sometimes if people, they kind of snicker, they laugh and say, yeah, isn't that the truth? But do they really get the truth? And, are we going to have to endure another painful lesson and saying, oh, my gosh, what Thatcher said, that's really real?
Well, yes, it is. It is going to be very painful, let's go over to this infrastructure bill. And again, Patty does such great research on all this. And she said that she figured out why she couldn't find it, because she wanted to read it, take a look at it. Of course, it's quite long. But they didn't really drop the bill until, let's see here, where is that? They didn't really drop the bill till just the other night. So these people that are going to be voting on it, they don't even know what's in it, Steve. But it is... It's another bill that...
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
We need to pass it so we can find out what's in it.
And there's also this huge bribe in there as well. This is from the Washington Examiner. And it says here that the infrastructure bill includes $1 billion for a commission that is run by Joe Manchin's wife. And Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, who she's a senator from Arizona and he's a senator from West Virginia. They're both Democrats. We are really looking to them to hold the line here for America. And history is looking at them because they've got to hold the line. And so can you believe that they've put this big bribe in there for Manchin's wife? I mean, this is just so blatant you can't even believe it.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's I dare not talk about our age, but maybe it is our age where the audacity level keeps rising, and it keeps taking our breath away. And I can't imagine people who are a couple generations down from us who this now has become this is the way things are, and there was a day where it wasn't this way.
It's been a long road to get to this point. And Manchin has said that there will be no filibuster. Oh, this was on one other thing. No filibuster exception for the Democrats on the voting rights bill, which I hope he holds the line there. But there's all kinds of really, really bad stuff going on there. But I want to jump over here to Lauren Levy. He is one of our sponsors of both the shows, The Kim Munson Show, as well as America's Veteran Stories. And he is an expert on mortgages, on interest rates. His company is Polygon Financial Group. Lauren Levy, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
Hey, I sent something over to you and want to talk with you about it today and with Karen tomorrow. And that is that it was a realtor that had a buyer of a home that the purchase was being held up because the lender... apparently was saying that I guess the employer would not verify employment because the employer was forcing people to have vaccinations. This is really getting scary. Lauren, what's your thoughts on that?
I agree with you 100%. I read that what you sent me. I have not seen it firsthand yet, as far as I have not had a loan that went sideways because of an employer pulling this thing. But that could, I mean, that is really, it's one thing to say you're their boss and they have to do what they have to do to work for your company, but then you're potentially stopping their rights of home ownership by refusing to provide documentation about their employment. And I don't know where that leads. I mean, to me, it sounds like it ends up in court. But I have not had that happen yet. But it would not surprise me if we do with everything else that's going on.
Well, it really is. It is very concerning, this force that's going on out there and this coercion. And so the government is, through these businesses, it's forcing people, forcing employers to do this. And we've got to stand. We've got to, you know, stand against this because this isn't okay. But, boy, here's somebody out there wanting the dream of home ownership and having that possibly held up in this crazy market as it is.
Kim, they could lose their earnest money on a purchase because that verification of employment is often done last minute, right before a loan closes, because they just want to make sure, the lender does, that you still have your job, you know? So that could be done the morning of closing or just the day before. And at that point, you've gone past your loan deadline and you could lose your earnest money that you put down. The seller could just keep it. So they could be costing buyers tons of money.
What do you think we can do about it?
I mean, I just read what you sent me yesterday, and it lit me up. So, I mean, I haven't heard it in the market yet. I think you can talk about it. I'm certainly going to talk about it with lenders that I talk to see what they're seeing, if anyone's seeing it. But it's something that we got to get in front of.
Absolutely.
Or it does cost people a lot of money.
Okay, so you're going to be out there talking about it. That's the first step on that, Lauren, for sure. And you do work with a number of different lenders, so that's a really good thing as well. Interest rates are low. If people want to refinance or get pre-qualified, how can people reach you, Lauren?
Yep, the interest rates are still low. Feel free to call 303-880-8881 is the best number.
Again, that number is 303-880-8881. Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Kim.
Great. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with Josh Phillip.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter there as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who support what we are doing out there. So let's jump over here to Josh Phillip. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kim. Great being here.
Boy, a lot has been happening since we talked last time, Josh, and you've been doing some important things regarding this whole vaccination thing and in the Epoch Times. You are the investigative reporter there with the Epoch Times, as well as the host of Crossroads. And one of the pieces that I saw recently that the Epoch Times reported on was that the CDC director said that vaccine passports may very well be a path forward in the U.S. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Well, you know, the way they're doing it is through private businesses and through government agencies. So here's basically how things unfolded. The Justice Department determined that because of the emergency declarations, that it's okay for private businesses and for government agencies to say that people have to be vaccinated, employees, if you're working at one of these companies or with the government, or for private businesses, if you're a customer. And because they pretty much said that it's okay to do, you've had a lot of different companies, a lot of different government branches, like they're talking about the military now, even possibly doing mandatory vaccinations. They're making it so that, well, pretty much you have to show a vaccine passport to use a lot of services. New York is the first state to really take a big move on this, New York City in particular. And they're making it so that, according to Bill de Blasio just yesterday, as a matter of fact, that if you want to have indoor dining at restaurants, if you want to go to gyms, he's suggesting Broadway plays and things like this, and maybe they'll expand it, but you have to show a vaccine passport. But, you know, we're going to see whether this is legal or not, because even though the Justice Department has said, you know, hey, it's legal to do, as far as we're concerned, their assessment isn't like a Supreme Court declaration, you know, a Supreme Court decision. And people can probably still sue these businesses, very likely, and I think we're going to see some lawsuits around this. Because your health information is technically between you and your doctor. And so we can see how this unfolds.
Couple of things. Speaking of that, between us and our doctor, I just recently just went in to get a routine medical thing done. And I was given the HIPAA form. And I basically said, could I have a copy of that? And I said, how is it that they say here that all of this is private information, but yet out here in Colorado, people that have not gotten vaccinated are now getting postcards and cards in the mail, which that means everybody at the post office knows that that particular person has not gotten a vaccination. How do those two things match up, Josh?
Well, Kim, that's where the legal fun is going to start, because as you mentioned, under this HIPAA legality, which is basically, again, that your medical information is between you and your doctor. Nobody's supposed to know about it. Employers are not supposed to know about it. The government is not supposed to know about it. The federal government, remember when Biden was talking about this whole thing they're announcing, where they want to have government, technically external, but really technically on behalf of the government, people going door to door and seeing if people are vaccinated. That brought up this big debate on, well, the government's going to be sending people door to door to see if we're vaccinated or not, and trying to encourage us to get vaccinated. Are they going to have a list of some kind on who is and who is not vaccinated? And if so, how is that legal? The federal government clarified this and claimed, and this is an important point here because there's some nuance to it. They claim that they do not have and do not maintain a database on vaccinations and so on, but they never said they wouldn't actually access or use such a database. Just because the government doesn't, you know, personally maintain it doesn't mean that, for example, a third party organization might have and maintain one that the government may use for a program like this. And this has been kind of the bigger pattern we've been seeing in terms of how, well, frankly, the federal government has been overstepping its normal boundaries, let's say, when it comes to censorship, when it comes to other things, when it comes to what we're seeing right now with vaccine mandates, is that they're not doing it themselves. They're going through the medium of private business to do it. And because private businesses have a bit more leeway with this stuff, and again, we'll see how this holds up in court, because I think you're going to see a lot of lawsuits. They're able to do a lot of stuff the federal government couldn't do.
Josh, it's pretty difficult to sue City Hall or to sue the federal government, because they'll just print money for all their attorney's fees, whereas everyday people, they don't have the resources. A lot of people are so squeezed because of the government's reaction to COVID as it is. Yes, there could be legal action, but that's really expensive. What's going to happen with that?
Well, I think we're going to see some class action lawsuits. I also think you're going to see some law offices possibly doing stuff on a more pro bono basis. I think it's going to have a big enough impact that it's going to be in the interest, let's put it this way, of a law office or of a legal organization to take on this case, frankly, because it's going to be a very high profile case. And there's benefit in doing that as well, let's say, even outside of just the moral issue of standing up for something like this.
I'm not sure if you heard my interview with Lauren Levy right before you came on, but he's one of our sponsors. He's in the mortgage industry, His company's Polygon Financial Group. And somebody sent me a text message yesterday that I sent over to Lauren that it was a realtor who said that their buyer, their employer would not verify their employment because the employer was forcing vaccinations. And I guess this person had not gotten a vaccination yet. And so they would not verify their employment, which meant that that put the mortgage in play, which meant that it put in play whether or not this person was going to be able to buy their own home, have home ownership. That's pretty terrifying. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Well, Kim, I think this ties into the bigger issue that I think we've actually discussed before on this show, which is, you know, this is the bigger issue, I think, at play with this whole vaccine policy thing, is that when governments were putting in place this whole, say, all these additional powers they gave themselves through this virus, one of the big questions was, you know, when this virus is over, when things start clearing up, when we have the vaccine, whatever, the, you know, whatever you want to say about it, will these different governments, local and federal, relinquish the additional powers they've given themselves? Will they take all these pretty expansive powers that give them the ability to, for example, change election laws across the United States, to force Americans to stay in their homes, to put people out of work as they choose? Will they relinquish these powers that give them the ability to overstep pretty much every one of our rights? Or will they keep them? And there's two directions local governments are going. You have states like Texas and Florida, for example, where they've mostly relinquished them. You have other states like California and New York where they're keeping them. And the way they're keeping them is like this. Rather than, for example, giving you back your rights are given back to you by the government selectively on a condition. And that condition is whether or not you're vaccinated. As I've said before, freedom then becomes something given to you by the government, not something you inherently have. And the vaccine passport really represents this. I've mentioned before, this is also part of the China model for dealing with this, you know, the whole health code on your smartphone thing. This is the model the Chinese Communist Party has been promoting for governments around the world, where they can spread this totalitarian form of government where these expansive powers, again, stay in place.
It's pretty terrifying. And the place where we really then need to fight back is at the ballot box. We need to have candidates that are, when we say conservatives, that means people that want to conserve this this American idea that all men are created equal and that we have these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. The government doesn't give us these rights. What government gives, government can take away. But these rights are inherent, and that is what the American idea is that government is in place to protect those rights. And if those rights are protected, we can pretty well live generally in harmony. And so we need to be electing people that understand that. But I've seen, Josh, good people that do get elected, and power, just a little power can actually go to people's heads, and they kind of forget these founding principles. What's your thoughts?
Well, I would say that there's this anti-constitution force that's been in place for a long time because, you know, when the founding fathers of the United States wrote the Declaration of Independence and declared this new interpretation of what government is and what the place and role of government is, where they say, you know, again, before all this, keep in mind, right, the way it used to be was you had the divine right of kings. The king was pretty much like the emissary of God himself, and anything they did was like written law. The king's actions were what determined right and wrong in the society. The founding fathers of the United States flipped that whole thing on its head, and they said, no, people have an inalienable rights. They have natural rights that are given to them by God, and the role of government is to protect these God-given rights. Where they state again that, you know, that people, again, have inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And people the government is instituted among them to protect those rights. That reinterpreted the entire role and place of government. And it means as well that, you know, government is, again, a public service that we create for ourselves in order to protect our life, liberty, and our property. That really, the Constitution of the United States really limits as well the role of government and the scope of government. And so any totalitarian power not just in the United, I mean, in the United States especially, I think, because government powers are severely limited, actually, by the Constitution. The federal government's reach is technically limited within the boundaries of what is written in the Constitution. States have a lot of powers as well, but even their ability to trample your rights is pretty dang limited. And even foreign governments, the example of the United States, the example that a free people can create a prosperous and harmonious society, is something that every day is a thorn in their side, because every policy they have, every action they have that tramples on people's rights is contrasted with what Americans have. You know, this is the whole story of the Soviet Union and its collapse. This is the whole reason why people in Cuba are waving American flags as they protest against their communist leadership. This is why protesters in Hong Kong were waving American flags and carrying Trump signs. It's because the example of the United States is something that is a threat to every dictator, every tyrant, and every totalitarian regime in the world. And anybody looking to trample on our rights really has to try to destroy that first.
It appears, Josh, actually, let's go to break, and we'll continue this conversation with Josh Philip. He is a senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. He's the host of a really excellent video podcast, Crossroads. Before we do that, though, Castlegate Knife and Tool, a great sponsor of both the Kim Munson Show and America's Veteran Stories, is having an event tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. at their store in Sedalia. It's their Everyday Carry Sharpening Day. They have this new service, Knife Sharpening, and you can drop by and they will sharpen that knife for you. And if you have other knives that need to be sharpened as well, bring those and you can drop them off and they will do that. So get more information at castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com, but that's tomorrow, Thursday, August 5th, 3 to 6 p.m. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Josh Philip.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
America's Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. I've got on the line with me Josh Philip. He is a senior investigative reporter with the Epoch Times. He is a real journalist. When we have so many now that are just commentators and opinion writers, and he's also the host of Crossroads, which is a great video podcast. Josh, out here in Colorado, Mayor Hancock, Governor Polis, they really want to be California wannabes out here, and we're having things presented out here in Colorado that aren't presented anyplace else in the country. But Patty, my researcher, found this was very interesting. This was some legislation that was passed this last session out here. It was Senate Bill 21-142, and it was really a pro-abortion bill. And but in that, what it actually said, and Governor Polis signed this into law in May, was it said every person has a right to privacy with respect to personal health decisions, free from coercion and interference from the government. And we think that's a great find. And from a legal standpoint, that should really, I think, maybe offer some protections for people out here in Colorado.
Well, I'd actually agree with that. I mean, this is kind of the interesting way things are heading, is that there's a lot of contradictions in government action right now. And the justifications they use for these expansive powers they're giving themselves, including, you know, abortion and things like this, really do contradict a lot of their other policies. You know, the whole idea of my body, my choice people are using that now as the slogan of saying, well, I choose not to put a vaccine in my body. It's my choice. The whole narrative as well, for example, in Texas, where, again, Governor Abbott there is taking actions to limit illegal aliens entering the country. The federal government is trying to put a hold on some of that and using the claim that, oh, well, you know, pretty much local governments don't have the ability to do this, contradicts the former policy the Democrats were pushing around the whole sanctuary city laws. And so, you know, they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot, where on one side they want to restrict your rights using a certain narrative, where the other side they want to take your rights using that same exact narrative. And yeah, from a legal standpoint, I think a lot of these things won't stand up, because in their own words and their own documents, they've already contradicted a lot of these things. And this is, I think, the normal course of, say, bloated government policy and bloated government action, where you have contradictions all over the place, even in terms of legalities and how the Constitution has been interpreted one way or the other. But what it comes down to, I think, in the end, is which version or which interpretation the Supreme Court chooses to look at. And this is another big issue we have in this country, is that the Supreme Court's role has been expanded beyond anything I think the Founding Fathers ever anticipated. And the actions to take away our fundamental rights has been expanded beyond anything the Founding Fathers ever anticipated. Keep in mind, many of them didn't even think a Bill of Rights was necessary, because they didn't think that pretty much there could ever be threats against our basic rights.
Well, and that moves us over to elections really matter. And what we saw with this last election cycle it looks like our elections have been possibly compromised. And so what's your thoughts on that? And is some of this distractions, like with Cuomo, with Obama and his birthday party, Steve and I were talking about it in the first segment, are these distractions because we're starting to get over the target here on election integrity?
Well, let's go back in time. Back in 2016, when Trump was elected president, and you had groups across the whole board talking about election fraud and how Russia stole our elections, and you had even a lot of the mainstream news outlets doing hit pieces and documentaries about the voting machines and all these problems with the voting machines, and there was tons of articles about it. And that was considered legitimate. All the different social media platforms allowed that kind of discussion. Everybody was talking about it. They were making special counsels to investigate the president of the United States himself. This was mainstream news. Every single Democrat was talking about it nonstop. All the stations were talking about it nonstop. And this was the story for like, what, 3-4 years? I mean, technically, even now, some of them probably believe the whole Trump-Russia hoax, which was disproven. It turned out it was a document that was pretty much, you know, fabricated, paid for by the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign. Now, that was then. Then 2020 happens, and really what you had was governments across the whole country change election laws using the virus and the expanded powers they had as a way of doing so, changing them in ways that did not strengthen the integrity of the elections, but actually removed a lot of the safeguards that we have against fraud. And despite that, despite these groups claiming that foreign countries are trying to steal our election, they came out and declared this was the safest, most secure election we've ever had. What actually changed between 2016 and 2020 that they've declared this is the most secure election or whatever that we've ever had, that there was no possibility of fraud, when not only did they not put additional safeguards in place against the very things they were warning about, but instead removed existing safeguards using methods that were questionably legal? Well, nothing changed. The only difference was is their guy won and the guy that they didn't like got out. That's the only difference. And suddenly then all the social media platforms are saying you can't even discuss this. And discussing it will get you censored and deplatformed, and it's misinformation, and we're going to form all these different groups to ensure that you can't have online discussions about this. And all the mainstream news outlets that were saying the exact same things back in 2016 were suddenly saying now that any discussion like this is a threat against our democracy. And we're not a democracy, we're a constitutional republic, but that's another discussion. A threat against our democracy, and you shouldn't even begin to discuss this. then anybody who tries to protest against it, well, this is insurrection, and that just can't be tolerated. And so the flip in the whole narrative, where the hypocrisy of all these same exact groups, I think, is shocking, one. But two, I think that there is the issue that you can't change election laws like this. You can't take the safeguards that are in place and just remove them, and then not take steps afterwards to reassure people that problems didn't happen because you removed those safeguards. And then so you have, of course, these audits and investigations taking place, and the federal government itself is trying to interfere with that now. The Justice Department targeting different individuals and groups with lawsuits, and the media and big tech and big government working hand in hand to try to suppress any discussion about this. I think the situation is extremely bizarre. And frankly, I think the American faith, the faith of the American people in the integrity of these systems is really being shaken because of it.
So, Josh, give us some hope on this, because all this is concerning and daunting. Where do you think we're headed?
Well, I think where we're headed is this. I do think you're going to see a lot of serious issues exposed by some of these audits. Right now, as we speak, the Arizona audit is moving towards completion. They can't fully complete it yet because the local officials in Maricopa County and these voting machine companies are, you know, not cooperating with some of the requests for information they need to complete it. They claim that they don't have the Arizona officials don't have a legal authority to request some of the information they're requesting. But regardless of that, you do have a lot of the audit completed. And I think the findings of this audit we'll see very soon. But regardless of how that goes, you have other states now, I believe over 16, considering similar audits. You have different states across the United States putting in place stronger standards on election integrity. And the federal government, this is what's going to happen, I think, going forward. You're going to have two different narratives come out. One is going to be that Trump is going to be getting behind this, and the states are going to be getting behind it, that the audits in different states are going to move forward, investigating what happened in the 2020 election. States are going to be strengthening their election laws. And the findings from these audits are going to be released to the public. The public is going to have some ability to look at this. The other side of it is very likely you're going to see all the legacy news outlets, these big corporate media outlets, launching nonstop hit pieces against this. The federal government through the Justice Department is going to be using lawsuits and so on to probably try to restrict some of these changes being made. And you're going to have, of course, local officials probably getting sued by political action groups and so on, trying to prevent them or punish them in some ways when it comes to them trying to change their election laws and put additional safeguards in place. This is going to be the narrative going into 2022. But I think on the positive side of it, very likely you are going to have a lot of the issues that took place in 2020 having a much more difficult path forward in terms of doing the same thing again because of the changes to election laws and because of the audits.
Well, I think the great thing probably about the 2020 election is the fact that it's being brought to light that we have had this ability possibly to affect elections. And I think it looks like it may have, I mean, it didn't just happen overnight, Josh. It looks to me like something that probably has been in play for some time. What's your thoughts on that?
Fully agreed. And that's, I think, the bigger question at play. You know, the problem with investigating election fraud, though, is that typically the investigations need to be launched by the local governments, which typically get into power through the local election system. And so it's not in their interest to investigate the very system that got them into power. Uh-huh. one of the big challenges we have in this country right now. This is why, for example, in Arizona, you have the state officials investigating the county officials, essentially. But the county officials are trying to block it and using the powers of government they have as well to do so. It's a bizarre situation, but I do think that while Republicans do control most of the state legislatures, the state legislatures, of course, under the Constitution, are the ones that basically handle the elections. And even if the federal government tries to intervene in that, their legal ability to do so is actually very limited. So it's going to be a show, I think. It's going to be quite the drama to watch, and it's going to be starting very soon. But I do think the Republican side of this has a lot more strength than maybe people realize.
Well, and I really do think that there are Democrats and independents and Republicans, conservatives across the spectrum, that they all of us, we all do want honest and fair and free elections, for sure. Josh Philip, thank you so much for joining us. You always have so much that we can learn from, and so I greatly appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, pleasure as always, Kim. Thank you.
Okay, and our quote for today is from Mr. Rogers, from Fred Rogers. He said, "All I know to do is to light the candle that has been given to me." So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Twisting, turning further from my home. Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry.